I want to mention this. On Thursday night, we have what we call an encouragement group. And all we do is encourage each other. We have several that come out, and it's wonderful because we have the opportunity to share things that can help one another. So if you're interested, give me a call or give Greg Parker a call. And you may not have his number, but you got mine, and then I can refer you to Craig. So, but anyway, it's a wonderful group that we meet, and we encourage one another. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says to encourage one another in the Lord, and that's exactly what we try to do. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Romans chapter 12. I was planning on us actually being in the book of Daniel today, but it looks like we're going to be in Romans for just this Sunday and next Sunday, and I'll share that with you in just a little bit. But I wanted to go in some type of depth as to our church theme this year, live to give. Because everybody is living with some type of motive. You've got some reason, some purpose that you're trying to live your life. It could be, I'm just trying to stay alive, you know. I like the Bee Gees, staying alive, staying alive. But it's more than that. Life is actually more than that. And I invite you to really look at these verses, see what it's saying to your heart, embrace it, and then ask God to strengthen you in these things. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. If you would, just look at somebody and just say these words, no more dead stuff. Look at somebody else and tell them, no more dead stuff. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for blessing us to be here today. We ask that you speak to our hearts and help us to encourage one another, that as we look to you, we would gain strength, but also insight into what we can give you. Lord, we're always asking you for this and asking you for that. But here is your apostle asking us to give you something, and that's to give ourselves. In these next few minutes, Lord, help us to understand what that means and what it can do for you and for us as we seek to live for your glory. We ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, and for his sake. And all the church said, amen.
Amen.
When I first got saved, I read the Old Testament. And I also began reading the New Testament, and I saw a stark difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were engaged in all of these sacrifices. They would have the trespass offering. They would have the sin offering. They would have these various things that they were given. And these things were given as a means of helping people to get close to God, these offerings. When I read the New Testament, it was talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then through Christ, how we could learn to love one another. I said, there's a difference there. There's a difference. Not knowing what the meaning of that was, I thought, well, maybe I'll try to do both. I'll try to see if I can sacrifice. I'm an early Christian. I don't know all of the things about what I needed to do. So I said, well, let me find something and sacrifice. I love the Lord. And I looked at a deer and I said, nah, he runs a little bit too fast. I looked at the hog, but then I figured, no, the Lord said something in the Bible about he doesn't want us to sacrifice any pork or any pigs. By the way, I got a joke I could tell y'all on that one. I'm not going to do it now. And so I went on and I saw this rabbit. So I said, well, you know, if I could catch him, I could sacrifice him. Didn't know it was an unclean animal as far as sacrifice. I said, well, you know, we used to eat him. I said, well, it looks like an innocent thing. So I head out and knowing I was trying to catch a rabbit. What you don't know about rabbits is they don't run in a straight line. Then I learned out later on, that's not what God wants. It's really not what he wants. I say that because there are a lot of people making offerings, but it's not what God wants. Paul in this verse is telling us, God wants you. You see, in the Old Testament, there was this sacrificial system that they had in place. The sacrificial system that they had, it required basically that you do two things. One is that you had to present something to God, but then you also had to take its life. You had to kill it on the altar. And that Old Testament sacrificial system was based on what we call substitutes. You, the guilty party, would still live, but the animal which you were sacrificing had to die. It had to die. The second thing about this is that when you recognize that system, you had to do it over and over and over again, because the person who killed that first animal kept doing stuff over and over and over again. And with that guilty conscience, they would come before God, one more lamb having to die because they couldn't kick the habit. They couldn't really stop themselves from doing what had caused them to feel some type of way about themselves. And so now they're making another sacrifice. As a result of that, millions of animals were killed, slaughtered on an altar. And it didn't change a thing. They kept coming. As a matter of fact, the very ones who were presenting the offering before God, these priests, they had to offer for themselves, because guess what? They had the same problem that everybody else had. They too were sinners. And they too had to bring an animal, cut its throat, lay it on the altar, sacrifice it as a burnt offering up to God. And it did not change one single thing over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, one day, there was a voice heard crying in the wilderness, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Everyone looked. Who is this? Who is this Lamb of God? John the Baptist introduced a Savior who would die once for all, not only paying the penalty, but also changing the heart. That's Jesus, folks. You wonder why Sunday after Sunday we don't come and bring an animal on this offering. It's because Jesus paid it all. When he gave himself to God, it was perfect. God said in heaven, perfect. John the Baptist said on earth, he's the Lamb of God that takes away Notice I said, takes away. All of the others, all they did was cover it. I'm just going to cover it up. I'm going to cover it up. And God would look at it under the blood of those sacrifices, and it was covered up. But if you look under the cover, it's still there. Some of you have been trying in your own efforts to solve this problem of guilt on your mind. And you've been saying to yourself, if I could just do this, if I could just do that, then God's going to like me. That's dead works, folk. You're back under the old sacrificial system. No, it's not a lamb. It's not a goat. It's not a bullock. But what it is your feeble efforts of trying to do something to get God to love you. And guess what? He already loves you. Already loves you. No more dead stuff. No more dead stuff. When Jesus got up on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. It was not only his voice crying out, but it was his blood crying out, I forgive you. They slaughtered him. And he died. He bore your sins. He bore my sins once and for all on that old rugged cross. And ladies and gentlemen, if the blood of Jesus can't cleanse you, you cannot be cleansed. But it so satisfied the heart of God that 3 days later, the Jesus who died on the cross got up from the grave and he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he told us, go. Isn't that amazing? Your Savior. That's why you don't have to bring stuff and kill it. Bring yourself and live. Look at somebody and say, bring yourself. The Old Testament sacrificial system. And what I've discovered is that people in the New Testament age are still doing Old Testament stuff, trying to get it right with God. Let me explain to you. That's why Paul wrote in this verse, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Your body. That's really the only thing that you got that you can call yours. And guess who had to give that to you? God had to give that to you. Now, I don't want you dead. I want you living. And when you give yourself to God, guess what happens? You start in a path that is holy, that is righteous, that is perfect, that pleases God. And I know some of y'all, over the Christmas holidays, you kind of slip. Right? I gave up drinking a long time ago. Went to the wrong party. And you know, I just take one. And you know stuff going to kick in. You know it's going to kick in. Next thing you know, oh. It's hard to say goodbye to yesterday, ain't it? John the Baptist wanted us to realize that once and for all, this Christ had come to do what no other thing, no angel, no other power could do. And that's what Christ has done for us. He satisfied totally, totally every offering in the Old Testament. Jesus satisfied it. Passover, he satisfied it. Matter of fact, before Passover, he said, I'm going to eat it with you before I die, but then we're going to eat it new in my Father's kingdom. We're going to enjoy our time together. God wants us to enjoy that fellowship with Him, and I'll get into that in just a minute, but no more dead stuff. We wonder why our churches don't have life. We wonder why when we praise God, everybody got their head hung down or either their arms crossed like, I'm mad, don't want to be here. You know, it's because something on the inside is not alive. But if you can become alive in God, if you can recognize what He has done for you, that He brought you from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way, it'll give you joy. It'll give you joy. And you'll begin to rejoice in Him, and you will say, Lord, I thank you. Paul is begging us. He's begging us. I want you to do this. Don't want you to die. I want you to live. And I want you to enjoy this thing of seeking God in your life. You don't know, as the song said, what He's done for me. Huh? You don't know what it means until you tried it for yourself. Then you can have that walk with Jesus. Let's look at a couple of things today. Let's observe a couple of things in this word, and let's take it all in. Revelation repeats something that was said by John. John referenced the Lamb of God, but here it is in Revelation, where they are now in eternity. And John, the gospel writer, he is trying to find someone who is worthy to take this book. And this book is not just an ordinary book. It's sealed with seven seals. And the Father God Almighty holds it. And the question is asked, who is worthy to take this book? Which means they had to have paid a price in order to go up before God and take that book. John said, I looked. There was none in heaven. I looked, there was none on the earth. I looked, and there was none under the earth. But then one of the elders said, wait, there's one. Singular, which means only one. And they said, he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was what? Slain. Slain. That's your Jesus. That's your Savior. That's your God. That's the one who gave himself for you. That same Lamb who shed his blood on Calvary's cross. What is he doing now? He is worthy. And notice the verse goes on to say that by his blood, he's taken out every kindred, every tongue, every people and nation, and has made us what? Don't say it. Kings and priests unto our God. That's why I don't have to worry about what am I on this earth status. What am I to other people, you know, importance. I'm something to God. Do this right here. I'm something to God. I'm something to God. I might not be what other folk think I ought to be, but thank God I'm a child of God. Not only a child of God, God made me a king. God made you a queen. God made you a priest unto your, you are royalty. Look at somebody and just say, I'm royalty. I'm royalty. That's what your Jesus did. Not only did he satisfy the requirements of every sacrifice, the millions of lambs and animals that had been slain, here is Jesus. He's also brought you into this fellowship with God that you have been appointed by God. By the way, it's a permanent position. Permanent. What you are right now. John says also in his letter, he said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, I shall be like him. Yeah. In the country, we used to do this, what's up? That's when you know, that's when you have the confidence. That's when you have the level of assurance that what God has done in your life, it's real. Now, what Paul is saying, you would never get to this point of recognition if you don't present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice. In Sunday school, they were alluding to the same thing this morning of what we need to do as far as our responsibility of sharing this good news. Ladies and gentlemen, we got something to talk about. World putting you down? Come on to church. We're going to tell you who you are. We're going to show you how to walk. What'd you say, Peggy? We're going to learn how to walk with our shoulders upright. Yeah, I'm a short man anyway. I got to walk upright. But we rejoice in this because of the fact that we can give God something that's alive. All throughout the Old Testament, it was marked by death. The people who presented the offering should have died. They should have been the ones that were paying for their own debt, and they were offering something, and it had to die. But guess what? At the end of their life, they had to die. But guess what? Through Christ, we have this thing called resurrection. We've now been raised from the dead by the power of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. God did that for me, poor boy from the country. God did that for me, yes, and he did it for you also. That's how rich the blessing is. Amen. When you begin to look at who he is and what he's done for you. Let's take some things here. Let's look at some things. Why? Now, what is the need? Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, recognizing that now you are alive. It's not a system that focuses on death or the slain. It's now a system that focuses on the walk and the living. Live folk love to eat. Amen? I know Peggy said exercise with it, but live folk, first of all, we love to eat. Here's some spiritual food. If you're going to be alive, you need something to live on, something that gives you nutrition so that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stop acting like dead folk. Folk that have eaten have some type of energy. All right? When God gives you encouragement and here comes a trial, you ought not be falling down. Oh, God, why me? Stand up right and act like I can take it. Every time you get into the negative, that's dead folk stuff. Every time you say you can't do it, that's dead folk stuff. And as Brother Joe brought out this morning, anytime you stop praying, you're headed for the graveyard of dead folk thinking. But guess what? On this first Sunday in January of 2025, I'm alive in Jesus. I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. And if I don't stand up another day, I'm going to stand up today. And I'm going to tell you, I am somebody. Look at somebody, tell them, God wants you alive. You're going through all this crazy stuff. Folk call me a bad name. So? Somebody cuss me out. We ain't got to go back and cuss them out. That's dead folk stuff. You start looking up and say, God, what did you call me? And the Lord going to tell you, you a child of the king. No more dead folk stuff. I'm alive. Another thing I'm learning. Quit acting like you old. You are just aging. David, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm just aging. They'll put wine in a bottle. All right? I know some of y'all religion, but I got a point to this. They'll put wine in a bottle, and they will let it age, and they say the older it gets, the better it gets. Guess what? God put some Holy Ghost in you. You're not getting old. You're just aging. And the older you get, the better you get. You even look better. Because he put some good stuff in you. We spend all of our lives living as if we've not received a precious gift from God. The devil has you thinking, I'm a nobody, I can do nothing. That's not what God says about you. And when you present yourself to him as a living sacrifice, things begin to come alive around you. That's all I'm saying. That's the whole point of this message. That's why you can live to give, because you got it like that. Y'all get that? Live to give because you got it. You can't give what you ain't got. It's quiet. So do this right here. Say, I got it like that. All right, we're going to hear it all. Here's the evidence. Now I'm going to close. I'm going to get ready to close. If you ever wonder what is the checklist, what is the evidence of things that are in my life, first of all, it starts with these things called a recognition or a need. A need. There are people who believe that they are saved by doing something good. Well, I know that person is going to heaven because all they did was good in their life, and therefore God is going to welcome them at the pearly gates. Peter's going to be there, and he's going to welcome them. First of all, I ain't never read in my Bible where Peter's somewhere at some gate letting some folks in like he got a key. I ain't read it in this one. I'm just saying. You might have read it in your, I don't know. I'm just saying. Ephesians, on the other hand, says that you are not saved by good works, but you're saved for good works. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is going back and saying, when you present your body to him, he creates you as something brand new. Let me give you an example. Michelangelo was noted for taking paint, oil, and he would take that oil-based paint and he would create these majestic pieces of art. If you think that Michelangelo was good, just wait till God gets a hold of you. Watch how he takes his paintbrush of love and shows you that you can be love. Some of y'all missed it. Some of you, it'll come back around. It's a boomerang. It'll come on back around. Don't depend on good works. Do them. But then said, Lord, thank you for helping me do what you wanted me to do. You're in the will. And when you're in the will, you're carrying out the function of what God designed you to do. See, he didn't design me. I forgot to say this in the beginning. First of all, you ought to know what sacrificing your body means. Some of y'all have done it before. You sacrifice your body. Some of you sacrifice it for a job. What are you doing, man? I got to go to work. And you worship your job more than you do your God. I'm not saying don't work, because you know your bills ain't going to stop coming. But what I am saying, take a break, amen, and give God some time and watch how he blesses you on your J-O-B, amen? You got to get your priorities right. So there are people that depend on good works, and God said, that's dead stuff. That is dead stuff. Don't want your dead stuff. I want something alive. Now the thing people do, and I've noticed this in the church, everybody got to be first. We serve food at the church, and guess what? Me first. Oh. You ain't think I was going that way, did you? I put the signal on, me first. But not only in that, there are people that this me first mentality also is based on the fact that I'm not going to let you outdo me. I'm not worried about other folks' business. I'm trying to take care of my own. If you're not careful, me first folk will tell you how to live your life. Well, if I was you, well, you ain't me. You tell them, shut your mouth down. You got to be careful. Because when Jesus said you're living as a servant. You're living to serve. You're living to bless somebody else. As a matter of fact, his disciples got together one day and they were worried about who is going to be first in the kingdom. And John, he get to arguing with Peter, and Peter get to arguing with Andrew, and they carrying on among themselves, who going to be first? And Jesus took a little kid, took a little child, held him in his arm, and said, except you become as this little child, who's not trying to be first, they're just glad to be alive, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that something? So next time, you know, we do stuff in first and you're at church and you feel like you gotta be first, at least be second. No, after you first. But it's really a symbol of pride. It's really pride. It's really pride when you begin to compare yourself with others. Paul put it this way. He said they measure themselves by themselves. Then he said it's not good. Just be glad that God is in you. Don't worry about who else is out there. You just worry about you. You just be concerned about what he's doing in your life. And he's doing some amazing thing. I'm looking at y'all and guess what? Y'all look blessed. You just look blessed. I know inside you might be saying, you don't know the trouble, but you're still alive. Touch yourself and say, I'm still alive. Thank God for Jesus. Yes. Moving on. The greedy meat prayer life. That's dead stuff. I was about to tell them, that's dead stuff. Your prayers are your means of communicating with your God, and it ought not to always be about you. Well, Lord, you know I need a new set of tires on my car. He knoweth the things that you have need of before you even ask them. First of all, when you come before God as a living sacrifice, you tell God how good he is. Lord, you are majestic. Lord, you are awesome. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, you are grateful. Gracious. Lord, you are mighty. Now, you're not puffing God up. You're not trying to get him to do something, but you're not trying to manipulate. He's already blessed you. What I'm trying to do is to get you to recognize what he's already done. And you know what? If you don't praise him for what he's done for you, I'm going to praise him for you. I'm going to thank him for you. Don't let that dead prayer. Don't let that influence you in such a way that now you got to make sure that you get all your needs met. It's more than meeting your needs, it's glorifying God. What I've learned that even when God sends me through a crisis or a struggle in my life, guess what? He's got to make me stronger. Because he wouldn't bring me to a trial just to leave me. And he made a promise that he can never go back on. He said, I am with you, what? Always. Even to the end of the age. So when I get in trouble, I said, Lord, what are we going to do? How are you going to work it out? I know you will, and I know you can. And guess what? Just like always, he's right on time. He's right on time. All right, we're going to move on. I told you that 5 minutes ago, didn't I? Y'all still here, so I'm going to still preach. The other thing that is dead stuff, quit being a victim. Stop living that way. Every time something happens, why me, Lord? Why not you? Why not you? Yeah, you're going through, but you're going to learn some things about God as you go through that you can say, even if he doesn't change a thing, I know that he's still God. I know that his keeping power is great and the Lord can do anything but fail. And you know what? If you don't get it on the earth, guess where you're going to get it? When you get to glory. when you get to glory. Evidence of dead stuff. Let me move on, and I'm going to close here. Close here. I'm not going to get into this part of it, but Paul talks about the second part of this, being shaped by the world, the conversations of the world. When you get on Facebook or other things, you got to be aware that you're now entering into a temptation zone where the thoughts of other folk just might start filtrating in your life, and now you're going to be doing what they suggest, or you're going to be thinking the way that they think. Social media can be dangerous, and you better take it seriously, because now at the tip of your finger, you have trouble on every hand. And I'm going to ask that you do this. We're talking about living to give. Give God some time in His Word. If you spend an hour on Facebook, guess what? God expects His time. Amen. I ain't hearing no amen. I'm looking at our young folk now. I'm looking at our young folk. I learned much of what I know right now from older people who had wisdom. They spoke into my life. They spoke into my being. You wonder why I'm as confident as I am? Because they spoke life into me. And I want you to tell you something. The evangelism this year means speaking life into somebody else. If you're going to tell them something, tell them, listen, God created you for a purpose. God created you for good. He didn't create you as a failure. You are not a failure. Yeah, you made a mistake. You messed up. But that's all right. God can fix you up. Is that encouragement? Amen. But remember, you can't give it if you ain't got it. But if you got it, you ought to let somebody else know, I got it. And I can share that with you. In closing, I'll give you a couple of things. Paul says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means change. That word is actually deeper. It embraces the thing of what we call this metamorphosis that we now go into. When you get into God's presence, this change, this transformation that takes place, now you're being created into something that you didn't know you could become. I want to say a simple word to you. Look how far the Lord has brought you. Look at how far the Lord has brought you. Somebody can say, He brought me from a mighty long way. He took me out of darkness, brought me into the marvelous light. That's why I can praise Him. God doesn't want you dead. He wants you alive. And when you come to Him alive, He's going to fill you up and then pour you out. And as you empty yourself out, guess what? He's going to give you more strength, more grace. Folk that you thought you couldn't love, He's going to give you love for. People that you thought can't stand them, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you the grace to stand them and not only love them, but to help them. You're looking at a change in your life. You're looking at a transformation in your life. When God gets a hold of you, it is no secret what God can do. I feel like preaching here. It is no secret what God can do. If He did it for somebody else, quit getting mad at them. Quit hating on them. You sing your song. You pray your prayer. You live your life. You do what God told you to do. Be what God would have you to be in Jesus' name. Finally closing, real quick. First thing you got to do, you need to cease from sin. Anytime you come to God, you're going to automatically get rid of stuff. Some of y'all didn't catch that. When you start living for God, you're going to automatically cease from sinning. Closer you get to God, the less sin's grip will have on you. The less that sin's power will have on you. You're going to slip away from those things because now you got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When the old thoughts used to come and capture your mind, that old dead stuff, you can shake it off and begin to move to God. Say, Lord, wait a minute, I'm your child. I'm not like that. I don't live that way anymore. People are going to call you by your old name, but that's all right. You don't have to be your old self. Second thing, if God has done something for you, here's the part I get in tears about. If God has been gracious to you, when are you going to be good to him? When are you going to come before him with singing? When are you going to rejoice and lift up your head like the Lord has done some miraculous things in your life, which he has? He's done some marvelous thing. And then we come to church and we give him a little bit. That Brill Cream religion don't work. I had to go back and give me some old-fashioned hair grease. Yes, Lord. It was the only thing. I started to shave my hair, but I ain't ready for that yet. Quit giving God your little bit. I was challenged the other night. I was challenged the other night when I left our watch night service. And I just thank God. I thank God for Sister Mitchell. She walked up, gave me an offering, and I put it in the tithe box. But I read what was on there. It says, Dolores Mitchell, my best offering. And this morning when I was filling out my tithe, they put it in the box going out of church. I remember what Dolores did. And I said, Lord, are you telling me to give more? You know what I did? Put my tithes in, but wrote out another check. And I said, Lord, this is a love offering because I love you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be motivated by something, be motivated by your love for God. Amen. Because guess what? When you needed something in your life, yes, your God was motivated by love. I close with this because when the fact is we read John 3:16 the wrong way. You trying to get God to love you, and the Bible tells us God so loved, L-O-V-E-D, already he loves you. So that's past tense. You don't get him to love you. He already loves you. That he gave his only begotten son. You don't get him to give his son. He's already given to you. That's past tense. That whoever believes in him, now we get into present tense, all you got to do is believe. And when you believe, you'll draw closer to him. Yes. You'll draw closer to him. Yes. And that he may have everlasting life. That's future tense. You think you got some good stuff now? You hold on. You ain't seen it all yet. You're going to see what God has prepared for those that love him. Can I get an amen? Yes. As I close, I want to share something that happened back in 1865. The Confederate General Robert E. Lee was said to be a devout Christian. Some would question that claim because of the fact that he fought for the preservation of slavery, but like all of us, we got some sin that we're still dealing with. Can y'all say amen? Near the close of the war, General Lee was attending worship services at the St. Paul Episcopal Church in Richmond, Virginia. As usual in the South, the communion was first served to the whites and then to the slaves who were in attendance in the balcony area of the church. On this particular Sunday, a well-dressed black man walked down to the altar and knelt down at the altar. He just stayed there. Congregation was stunned. They didn't know what to do. General Lee stood up, walked down to the altar, and positioned himself close by to where that gentleman was praying. He knelt down, and he received communion. A lot of debate as to what was his motive, why did he do it, but General Lee did something right. He presented himself as a living sacrifice. He came because he believed that what God had done for him, he could do for anybody. You and I need to have that same attitude. Quit worrying about what this one doing, that one doing. What is God doing in you? How's he working in your life? And if God is working in your life, you're going to let go of a whole lot of stuff. Stand on your feet as we give the invitation. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Oh, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. I'm going to give the invitation. There'll be one today. No more dead stuff. But what you can do is to bring God a living you. Say, Lord, here I am. Everything I am and everything I'm not, I bring to you, and I present my body as a living sacrifice. We invite you to come. The altar's open. I've known Robert since Alice Warren, the day that we were in. She actually invited him to come to our church, and he finally came up the aisle and said, I'm going to join with you on Christian Experience. He's been attending very regularly, in fact, more so. But we're grateful that he's come. What is your privilege? Motion and probably second to receive Brother Robert as a member of our church based on his Christian experience. You've heard the motion. All in favor, let it be known by the usual sign, aye.
Aye.
Any contraries? Amen. So moved and carried.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. We're going to get you to stand right here. We're going to give you the right hand of fellowship.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
One more time.
Amen. They're going to come from the second. Okay. No more dead stuff. We're going to have prayer, the altar. Call on the Lord. Going to ask Brother Joe to come. From now on, It's not going to be business as usual. I'm expecting God to do some great things in your life and mine. Why? We're alive. We're alive. Brother Jim, pray for special needs and just the church.
Let's all stand. Father, we thank you today. First of all, we give you glory. Lord, it is a wonderful privilege for us to come together on this first Sunday of this brand new year to uplift the name of Jesus and to praise him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he continues to do. Lord, today we pray for the one who has come forward to join us. We extend, O God, the right hand of fellowship to him by saying that we will encourage you whenever it is that you need us. We extend, O God, a heartfelt welcome to him because it is our responsibility to share Christ with our fellow brothers and sisters. Lord, there are many others today who have special needs in this church and even in our community. Those that are not present, we pray for them. We know, Lord, that when we gather together, worshiping, praising, honoring you wholeheartedly, we know that there is power in the blood. And that the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all sin is able to touch someone somewhere, wherever they may be, and to make that person well. So we thank you. We continue, O God, to pray for us as a church, that you continue, O God, to give us the vision to go out and to tell others about the good news of the gospel, not to keep it for ourselves, but to let them know that Jesus loves them. Like the old song says, that Jesus loves me, this I know. But then also we can tell others that Jesus loves them as well, even those who have not yet trusted him. So we thank you. Those that are hurting, we pray, dear God, that you give them comfort. There is, oh God, a way in which that you can encourage, that you can uplift the spirit of one who is down, because there is power. So the power that raised up Jesus from the dead that dwells in us will continue, O God, to manifest himself in us so that we can share, so that we can glorify God, so that we can fellowship one with another. Thank you. Thank you for all what you've done. And Lord, we thank you for the message today. And the theme, oh God, for this year, we pray, dear God, that we can present ourselves a living sacrifice to a dying world. Thank you for the messenger. Continue to use him, oh God, to not only teach us, but to encourage us. Let us, O God, receive the words of encouragement that he has given to us with gladness. And give us, O God, the strength, the power to go out and to share with others. Lord, we pray a blessing upon this offering, that living sacrifice. We thank you, O God, that there are other ways that we can sacrifice ourselves by giving. It's a privilege, Father, to give back. Not because, oh God, that we are able to, but Lord, it is what you desire of us. So we ask, oh God, your blessing upon the offering. Use it so that men and women, boys and girls in this community and those who are even listening to us on the airwaves would hear the word of God and come to Jesus and be saved. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.